From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua. Taking his text from chapter 6, verses 22 through 25, Dr. Cairns commences a most encouraging message dealing with the security of the saints as illustrated by the deliverance of Rahab. The city of Jericho was under the ban, which meant total destruction. There was only one place of safety in the entire town, Rahab's house on the wall. The spies whom she had harbored had promised deliverance for her and her family as long as they were found within the place marked by the scarlet cord. In the time of judgment, the sole place of safety is under the blood of Christ. As Dr. Cairns will demonstrate, Rahab was still in Jericho, but she was no longer of it. Now she was in a covenant relationship not only with the spies, but with God Himself. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. Our text for this morning comes from 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Mephibosheth was no great ornament to a royal table, yet he had a continual place at David's board, because the king could see in his face the features of his beloved Jonathan. Like Mephibosheth, we may cry unto the King of Glory, What is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? But still the Lord indulges as with the most familiar intercourse with himself, because he sees in our countenances the remembrance of his dearly beloved Jesus. The Lord's people are dear for another's sake. Such is the love which the Father bears to his only begotten, that for his sake he raises his lowly brethren from poverty and banishment to courtly companionship, noble rank, and royal provision. Their deformity shall not rob them of their privileges. Lameness is no bar to sonship. The cripple is as much the heir as if he could run like Asahel. Our right does not limp, though our might may. A king's table is a noble hiding place for lame legs, and at the gospel feast we learn to glory in infirmities, because the power of Christ resteth upon us. Yet grievous disability may mar the persons of the best-loved saints. Here is one feasted by David, and yet so lame in both his feet that he could not go up with the king when he fled from the city, and was therefore maligned and injured by his servant Ziba. Saints whose faith is weak and whose knowledge is slender are great losers. They are exposed to many enemies, and cannot follow the king whithersoever he goeth. This disease frequently arises from falls. Bad nursing in their spiritual infancy often causes converts to fall into despondency from which they never recover, and sin in other cases brings broken bones. Lord, help the lame to leap as an hart, and satisfy all thy people with the bread of thy table.
Yeah.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Joshua chapter 6, verse 22, reading through to verse 25. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel, even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to these few verses from His own precious word for His name's sake. I have a very dear friend in Northern Ireland. I hope to visit him very soon. It'll be a special visit because in a very short time he's going to be 100 years old. He's an old soldier, a fascinating man to listen to, and he has, as you would expect, an intriguing host of stories to tell. He especially loves to give his testimony and to tell the story of how the Lord graciously protected him even before he was saved, and then later brought him to the knowledge of himself. This is one of the founding elders of the first of all the Free Presbyterian churches. As I say, a man I always love to visit. His name is Hugh James Adams. In the country districts of Northern Ireland, if you're given two names at birth, you normally stick with them. So if you're Malachi Sebastian, that's what you'll be called for the rest of your life. He is Hugh James Adams. Hugh James told me of one occasion during World War I, and he had received medical leave, that he was going down the line on his way to get a few weeks away from the fighting. He came upon a company of British, really Southern Irish soldiers fighting in the British Army, and he spent the night not quite in their camp. He said he would have trusted the Germans more than those British soldiers, so he decided he wouldn't stay in the camp. As they camped, he lay on a railway embankment just 100 or so yards away. He was so exhausted that he slept very soundly, unawakened by any sound of war. When he finally awoke the next morning, he was greeted by a very eerie silence. Looking around him, he saw the corpses of that entire company of men, not one breathing, all killed by a surprise German attack. He was the only man left alive. Hugh James Adams could never adequately put into words his gratitude to the grace of God in sparing his life, because at that time he was a godless and thoughtless young man. And ever afterwards he magnified the mercy of the Lord for sparing him in that time of general destruction. I thought of Hugh James as I read this passage of Scripture in preparation for today, for I think that Rahab must have felt very much the same, only probably even more intensely. As a native of Jericho, she lived in a city that was devoted to destruction. But she had come to an understanding with the spies of the children of Israel. She had helped those spies, not because she was a traitor, to a noble people and cause, but because she recognized that the God of Israel was truly God, that Jehovah was King. She knew of his great works. She also knew of his just judgment that was about to come upon the nations of Canaan. She helped those spies, therefore, by faith, we are told. That is, she believed in their God, and she believed in their cause. When they gave her their solemn oath that they would spare her and hers from the general destruction of Jericho, she believed them, and she put on display in the window of her house, which was in the wall, built right into the defenses of Jericho, she put on display the crimson cord so that the invading armies would be able to identify her abode quickly and accurately. There must have been high excitement in that house of Rahab as the Israelites commenced their march around the walls of Jericho. That excitement must have reached new heights when the rumbling thunder of the collapsing walls all around them announced that the fall of Jericho was underway. We read that the entire wall of that great defensed city fell flat. That is, except for the part in which Rahab's house was located. I think it ultimately did fall flat, but not until God gave the necessary time for the spies to go in, bring out Rahab and her family to the place of safety. So that we read that Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's house and all that she had, and she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. What a sight that text presents. Amid the general destruction of Jericho by the wrath of God, there was one place of divine protection. There was one place of divine deliverance. When you isolate that fact in the narrative, you will learn a very important lesson. One important enough that you should never, never forget it. That is that there is a place of safety in the time of judgment for all those who are in covenant with the Lord. There is a place of safety in the time of judgment for all those who are in covenant with the Lord. I want us to take that one simple fact, and I want us to dwell upon it for a moment or two today as we consider the security of God's saints as illustrated by the deliverance of Rahab from Jericho. Now, as we think of this, I want us to look at Rahab, first considering her detainment in Jericho, and then proceeding to think of her deliverance out of Jericho. And then the last great view we have of her, her dwelling in Israel. And when you think of those three things, you will get the entire picture of this glorious truth of her deliverance, her salvation, her security, and how it illustrates the security of the people of God. Let's, for a moment, consider her detainment in Jericho. Rahab had to wait quite a long time between the moment she entered into the covenant with the spies whom Joshua had sent and the moment of her actual emancipation out of Jericho. We have spent over the last number of weeks, we have spent time in the portion at the end of Joshua chapter 5 and then into chapter 6, and we have noted just how one time after another the Lord placed delays upon the attack on the city of Jericho. Anybody who was expecting an immediate rush of the armies of Israel once they got across the Jordan to attack Jericho must have been sorely disappointed. The Lord, as we saw at the end of chapter 5, had three mightily important things to do in Israel before they were ready to take possession of the land. And then, having done that, he set them on a course of attack that was the strangest any of the nations in that area had ever heard. For he kept them encircling that city for another entire week. Now, it's very easy to read of such a passage of time from our perspective. It's very easy to read that. But you've got to understand the taut nerves of the people who were actually in the situation. And I think that Rahab was in many ways placed in a very peculiar position, and yet in a very suggestive position. She was put in this position of having to continue to live in Jericho, even though, as far as the covenant with God and his people was concerned, she no longer belonged to Jericho. She was in it, but she was no longer of it. She was a woman in covenant with God. She was, even as she lived in Jericho, she was trusting the promise of God given through his people. And she was resting and trusting her soul unto God as she dwelt under the crimson seal of that covenant. We have already in a past study considered that crimson rope that was to hang from her window, the sign and the seal of the gracious covenant made with her.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.